this building is not the church, but the church assembled here. I'm at a loss as to what to preach on. I thought I had a subject, and then I thought I had two or three. And then every time somebody preached, I gained another subject. It's not that I don't have anything on my mind. I'd be lying to you, dear brother and sister, if I said that. It's just that in this carnal mind, I'm trying to sort out that the Lord would have me do. But the church has seemed to have been, Brother Casey, a theme since I've got here. It begins upon the dove, and it's continued. And certainly this brother taught us about the glorious work of our Lamb that dwells in here. And if that blood that he shed is not upon the doorposts of this heart, my friends, there is no hope for that individual. But I'd have no desire to add to that, brother, because that was his. I'd like to turn your mind to the third chapter of the Hebrew. Yes, the third chapter of the Hebrew letter. And as I read, y'all pray that the Lord would guide my mind, that I might speak unto you those things that would be first glorifying unto our Savior. And secondly, that we might learn something. Before I get to reading this, I want to try to say that if I have a subject, I might have a subject on the house. And I believe that in this house, this brother preached on the house, and I want to say that I believe what he preached. He preached, I believe, the eternal phase of that house and how who it was that secured that for us. He didn't mince any words, and you don't do that with the truth. And I appreciate that. Because you can't improve upon perfection, dear brothers and sisters. And I want to call your minds to a scripture that took place, I believe, before the foundation of the world, to having to do with the eternal phase of the church. And it's not my intention to talk about the eternal phase, but the organic phase of the house. And first I want to point you to that eternal phase, and I find this language recorded in 2 Samuel when he says, although my house be not so with God. Now, who is doing the talking there? If I understand, it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking by the Spirit and to his Father using the tongue of David. Now, I want you to see when he says, although my house be not so with God, yet he, the Father, hath made with me the Son an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he maketh it not to go. He doesn't make it diminish either. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that blood that was shed yonder on the cross by the Lamb, that blood secured that eternal destiny for every little child of God. But I want you to also understand that there's a work for us to do here in time that we may manifest Christ in us, that we might understand and go forth in this life giving praise and glory unto him that has done all things well. I want you to know what if I can follow it. It grieves me very deeply, children of God, to see the laxity of God's children, those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of God, had they have the laxity toward the church of the living God. I'm talking about the organic phase, of this visible phase, the congregating together here. We have a laxity. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm pointing at my finger at us. I want you to know, me included. I find that this morning I had a few minutes, but did I use it wisely, studying God's word, that I would be able to come together, and when the congregation or the church come together, I might be more able to reflect reflect the teachings of God in me. I tell you, this is a serious matter, and we need to take it serious. Listen now, as I try to get into this. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. I want you to notice there's a house there, and he says it's his house. And he says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his house, his own house, whose house are we? Listen, my children. Listen to the language. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? I want you to know that there's a house that was prepared for you, the eternal abode, and that is sure and steadfast and nothing except by the power of God. And absolutely nothing can diminish or take that from you. But I want you to also understand that the house that we have here in this day and age, the church, if you will, that can be taken from us, not all over. He's always going to have a witness, but it can be taken from this locale or that locale. I'm very concerned with the status of Zion. I'm very concerned with the legacy I see of God's people toward their duty, toward their God first, and to their brothers and sisters secondly. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you have visited a brother and a sister in a hospital? I want to say, if it hasn't been very long, shame on us. That's part of the house, I want you to know. You know, I find that I've got a pretty good sized house, Brother Dickey. And you know, I look up there once in a while, and I go up there and I say, well, it's been quite some while since I've been in this part of the house. You see, it was adequate when all my children were there, and I was in it, all over it, regularly, because they keep you busy. But since then, you see, I don't have an occasion to go up there to some parts of it very often. Now, it's not all that large, but you understand that just when me and my wife is there, we're generally in one or two segments of that house. But my friends, when it comes to the church of the living God, we have a responsibility, yes, to every single part of the house, and that's every little child of God, whether he be Primitive Baptist or not. Did you follow me there? I'm afraid that went over. Because, you see, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to take this off. That don't make me preach any better, and it don't make me preach any worse, because the grace of God's the only thing that's going to help me anyhow. Let me get back on this building of the house. I'd like to go to a scripture over, I think it's in the 127th Psalm, and I find this language recorded there. By inspiration of God, and it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wake up in vain. But I want you to see, my friends, that's not what is going on in this world. We are sometimes, and most often, there's a great majority of the people of this world, children of God, that believes that they can build a house. They have a desire to do the things for God. They want to help him. But my God don't need any help. Jeff, I want you to understand. I know you believe that, dear brother. I didn't mean that to indicate that you didn't believe that. But I want you to understand that my God doesn't need a puny man to help him in this life and day and time. Therefore, we find unless the Lord builds a house, then the labor is in vain. And then I want to go back to Genesis for a moment, and I'd like to pick up a scripture there that sets forth the beautiful the order of things. Brother Casey, you and I spoke of it this morning, that one little law that says that everything shall bring forth after its kind, and the church is it. I want you to understand I'm talking about the physical phase of it, and if it doesn't if it's not propagated in the proper way, it is not building of the Lord. I find here it says except the Lord build a house, then they that labor in vain. My friends, whenever I give you this illustration, I was there at where I used to work, and they asked me this question. They said, Brother Caraway, where are you going this weekend? And I said, I'm going such and such a place. And they said, my, that's a long way for you to go to preach. And you're always going off someplace like that to preach. Why don't you just constitute a church out there, by you? I said, brothers and sisters, if there would be nothing that would please me more than to have a church out there in my neighborhood. But I find that's not the way to do it. I don't have the ability or the authority to go out and build a church. If my Lord doesn't build the church, then I'm going to labor in vain. I want you to know that the building of a building does not constitute a church. If you've got to have the people having a desire in their heart to come and worship God, they've got to have a desire to worship Him in spirit and truth, or you don't have a church. You've got to have the desire to please the God, to walk obediently after Him, my friend, or you don't have the church. Well, what causes our church to diminish? Just exactly what I just said. The absence of those things. We don't cherish them enough in our heart. We have gone cold toward our duty toward our Lord. We have took it upon ourselves to think that this is our church. How many times have I been guilty of making that very statement? I'm going down to my church. I want you to know that if I have the privilege of going, it's not mine. This brother quoted the scripture, and I can't quote all of it, but unless we gather at the place where the Lord has placed His name, I want you to know that if He hasn't placed His name there, and He only places His name where He is building, therefore we can see that when we say I'm going down to my church, that there is a false statement, and we need to be a little more careful about that. Therefore, we can see, thank you, dear brother, we need to see that if the Lord, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. There is a many so-called church in this United States today, and I want you to know, they cannot be right, and us are right also, for we stand differing upon the principles by which this Bible teaches, and if the church is not established upon these principles, then it is not the true church. Listen to the language of yonder children of God when we find the Lord teaching. Yes, our blessed Savior, your Lamb, teaching yonder when He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's another name for the house, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the dove, where's the brother? There's many names that can be placed to the church. But He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what I want. I want to stop right there because, you see, I've been asked this question, and many of you have been asked the same question. Well, brother, how do you know where is the church? Well, I want you to know, children of God, it's wherever the righteousness of Jesus Christ is manifested in the heart first, in the doctrine, in the practice, and in the order. And it's got to be in all of those places before you can have the house that the Lord built.
I want you to understand. I believe that I'm in it today, children of God. I believe with all of my being that I'm in it today. Not because of my wisdom, but by the grace and mercy of an almighty God. He's too wise to err and too good to be unkind. Therefore, if I have this great privilege, it's because of his providential guidance. Now then, let's go a little further and see if we cannot find... I want to go yonder to 2 Samuel and see if we might pick up a little bit of language concerning the prophecy of the establishment of this church that we're talking about or this house. Listen now as I read here in the 12th verse. First, before I read that, I want you to know that this is the word of God spoken by Nathaniel. Therefore, we see, and he said, I'm going to jump back to the 4th verse just to get a little of that first setting. And he says, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathaniel, saying, go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord. That's all I want there. Now we'll skip down to the 12th verse where he begins to talk unto David. He said, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt speak with thy fathers, I want you to notice who I will set up thy seed after thee. I wonder who that seed is. It's not Samuel, I want you to know right off. But listen, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. And my friends, Samuel surely built a house, but this is one that is pointing forward, that is greater than Samuel. He is greater than David. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than all of the patriarchs. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that one that has preeminence over all things. Therefore, listen, when he says, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And now this is the Father, God the Father speaking through Nathaniel to David about his son. That sounds beautiful to me. And now then, let's go and see, for I made a statement that that's not Samuel. I want to prove that, and I want to go to Acts, and I want to pick up there in the 29th verse when we find after the Holy Spirit descended upon Peter, and Peter began to understand some things that he hadn't seen before by the revelation of that Spirit. And he got up and made this statement beginning in the 29th verse. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. My friends, he's talking to Jews about why he's driving home the point that David is dead and buried because they were confusing the two Davids. They didn't understand David the Christ and also David the Patriarch. Therefore, he's going to clarify this matter. He says the Patriarch David is down there in that grave, and his sepulcher is with us until this day. And then he says, let me see if I can find the place here. He says, therefore, being a prophet, David, and knowing that God had sworn an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. My friends, can you not see now that if we could go to other places, if I took time, that we could go without any shadow of doubt that Jesus is a descendant through his mother's side, directly back into David. We could go, I just take one time, just one little moment to go back. I believe it's I want to make sure I go the right direction. It's not back, but it's forward. We want to go to the first chapter of the Roman letter and listen to what he said. He says, concerning his son, Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. I believe that's there. I said of that matter. Now then, let's go back to Acts and get a little bit more of this beautiful language concerning that one that is going to say establish the house. He says he's seeing this before faith of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, and neither his flesh did see corruption, that Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are his witnesses. There's another testimony in here that I wanted to get, and I don't want to take time to read all of it, but I want to go down, I believe it's to the 36th verse. He says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I realized, Jerry, that he was talking to the Jews. I realized that was one application of the house of Israel. But I also recognize that every child of God, when his heart has been circumcised, he becomes an Israelite. Yes, he is the household of Jacob. And when he has experienced that work of grace in his heart, he becomes an Israelite. And I just want to use it in that secondary application, if you'll allow me. Therefore, we can see this matter coming on. I want to go now to Isaiah and see if I might pick up just a little bit more of the prophecy concerning our blessed Savior. Yes, he was a Balaam, but aren't you glad that he accomplished many things while he was here? Yes, he redeemed us, but that is not all he did. My friend, he established the house that I'm talking about while he was here, walking upon the face of the earth. I'm not saying, dear brothers, that there was not a form of church back under the Old Testament. I know for a surety that there was, but I'm saying that the church, the house that was established by grace and truth, is in the New Testament, and it was established by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let's look at the second chapter of Isaiah and pick up with the second verse, and it says, and it shall come to pass, that sounds like future to me, dear brother, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, I want you to know, he put an adjective there, I believe, and he said the mountain, indicating the height of it, the elevation of it, Brother Carl, yes, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. I heard a dear old elder tell him one time, and he answered a question. I was on the peripheral. I didn't ask the question. I wasn't smart enough. But you see, I gained the knowledge by hearing his answer. And the question was asked is, they said, Brother Cummings, what is the mountains and the hills? And he says, there are three things in this world. The first thing, I'm talking about natural. He says, in the mountain part, there is where God establishes his church, on the top of the mountain. Yes, and then there's lower hills. He says that is those so-called churches. That is a house that is made up of children of God, teaching those things that are good and profitable as far as some things are concerned. But they are not following the teachings of this Bible. They have veered from some of the cardinal points of their teaching. Therefore, they're not on top of the mountain, but they surely they're elevated above the plain. Therefore, we can see that there's a plain, and therefore, the majority of the world is down on the plain, my friends. The desert is called in so many places, but we find that some of the children of God are thinking that they can establish the house and set forth to build a house. If you don't believe it, be history, children of God, the churches out there, just go out there and find any of them. I don't have to call them by name. Just pick one at random, and then go and start studying and see where do you trace it back. I can find some that was just traced back into the 19th century. I know, and then I can find some that is traced back a little further. But my friends, if you can't trace it back, I'm going to say to the banks of Jordan, you can't trace it back far enough. And thanks be unto God by his mercy and love. He's left us a record through our enemies that we can trace this old church back. Yes, all the way back to the foundation of that building, which is Jesus Christ. Now listen now, as I read this to the end, he says, And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. I believe we have here all nations under consideration representing Jew and Gentile. Now then, let's read a little further. And many people shall go and say, come ye. I'll ask you, have you said this to anybody lately? If you haven't, it's time that we start manifesting that Christ in us, that knowledge that we have. Listen, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us. I want you to know who's going to teach his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion, there's your another name, to add to the list, shall go forth low, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I ask you, my friends, did we come to this place with this upon our lips? What did we think as we journeyed here across this part of the country? Are we going uphill or not? My friends, I tell you, I used enough gas to have gone almost straight up, but I tell you, I rejoiced every mile because I had my eye fixed upon a place that I'd never been. I seen in my mind's eye an oasis down yonder. I said, brother and sister, understand me. By faith, I could see the kingdom of God here. The coming together, the gathering in. The building didn't make any difference. I want you to forget the building. I want you to forget these surroundings here. You are what I'm talking about. The children of God. You're the ones that I had the desire to reach out and grasp the hand and hug the neck and wish you well. It was the desire to see in your face the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the desire in my heart to hear you, having a desire coming together with a prayer upon your lips, saying, come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Yes, for he, are you looking to him? Listen, if you're looking to the preacher, forget it. I want you to know, as a preacher, is a servant. And while I'm right here, I'm going to throw this in. This won't cost a thing. And if you disagree with me, fine. Just take it home and chew on it for a little while. And if it don't ring true, give it back to me. But I tell you what, one of the problems is, not only with the church and the primitive Baptist, but all of them, we got too many leaders. I'm going to let that soak in. I tell you, children of God, we've got one leader, and he's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we don't need any other leaders. What we need is servants. Faithful servants having a desire to execute the will of their God, having a desire to say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Those are having a desire to say, and he will teach us. I want you to know, these brethren can preach their heart out to you, but if he is not in it, you won't learn a thing. If you haven't prepared the heart to come to you, I'd like to go over and take about 30 minutes on the parable of the sower, but I won't do it in this time. Because I want you to know that you have something to do. God has to work a work of grace in your heart for it to be prepared that it is able to receive the gospel. But you have a preparation to prepare yourself also to establish yourselves to the extent that you can receive it. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Mighty. And what my problem is, I don't know if they know what I'm talking about. Oh, children of God, pray for me. You see, I realize that too many times the minister sees the thing because of the mercy and the grace of God he's allowed him to see it. But to find words to portray it to you that you might also see it and rejoice in it and learn from it is another matter. My friend, listen now, as he said that he shall teach us his ways. I want you to know that ways there is relative to doctrine. He says, I'll give you an example. He says, there's a way that seemeth right in man. There's a doctrine that seemeth right in man. But the end thereof are the ways, the doctrines that lead us to destruction. I want you to know, the Lord is going to teach you his ways, my friend, if you will prepare to meet him. What did my text say? Let me go back to Hebrews just a little bit here. I think that was in the third chapter. If I can find that right quickly. Listen now. If I get to Hebrews, it'll read better. He said, but Christ has the Son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Are you doing that, children of God? Are you holding fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? My friends, there's no discharge in warfare. There's no place for the casualty to retire. There's work to be a part of, and you're still active in that work, your brothers. I want you to understand that you being here as such an example for the younger, you're still contending for the faith which was once delivered from the saints. You may not be contending from it from the sand, dear brothers, but I want you to know that you're an inspiration to the ministers that are younger, for they look around to the older ministers and they see them steadfastly holding still. Holding up the banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, children of God. Every one of us has a responsibility to hold that banner high and let everybody see that you're the salt of the earth, that God has worked to work a grace in your heart. Not browbeating them as we heard before, but allowing everyone to know that you've got something that is worthwhile. You've got something that you're proud of. You've got something that you're not ashamed of. Children of God, listen, don't go around long face. That's just a bad situation. You're the most blessed people upon the face of the earth. The God of all mercy has poured out abundant mercy. I wish I could get that text. Abundantly above all that we can even thank my friends. He poured out these blessings upon a stiff-necked and gainsaying people. Back up. Oh, children of God. We need to be holding fast. We need to be contending for the faith. We need to be in the house. Yes, when I say in the house, I don't mean in the building. But I mean as in the sense of the Hebrew letter of the 10th chapter, if I remember right, when he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the manner of some. My friends, how many times have we forsaken the assembling of ourselves together? I've heard this say, well, so-and-so said this. I'm just not going down there anymore. Well, what if the Lord has took that attitude? Brother Dickie, I find that he didn't allow anything to deter him from his service to his Father. For he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. Of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. But raise it up again in the last day. Dear brothers and sisters, listen. This was the work that he came to do. And regardless of what man throws his way, you know, he went on steadfastly, looking to the shame that he was to endure on the cross, looking to the pain that he would suffer there, looking at the 3 hours when he would cry out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? But I'm glad he could look beyond that. He could see the joy that would come in the fulfillment and the suffering. I'm now telling you, children of God, you're going to suffer for Christ's sake. Look beyond that. Look beyond the word that might be spoken, that might offend. My friends, the cause is greater than any man. David says, is there not a cause? That cause is word. It's in the house that our Lord has built. Yes, and if we don't look into him to keep the city, then the watchman awaketh in vain. We put too much faith upon on the minister. We think the minister is supposed to do it all. When it comes to church, when we come to the assembly, we find this attitude. The preacher is to lead the the band, the preacher is to offer the prayer, and the preacher is to preach, and the preacher is to dismiss, and then when we go over that eagle, the preacher is to offer the prayer again. Well, where is the congregation in that? I want you to know, children of God, well, let me just take you a little further. The preacher shall call you to find out if you're sick. The preacher shall call you to find out what's going on down here. The preacher is supposed to call you on all these matters. Children of God, that I want you to see that he is just a man. He has not the ability to see into the future. But thanks be to God, we serve one that does. Therefore, you have a responsibility to help him look into Jesus as the author and finisher of faith. Be obedient to Jesus and help that old preacher. I want you to know. Call him when you're sick. Let him know what your situation is. It's not his responsibility any more than it is yours to visit the sick. Do you understand what I'm saying, children of God? Every single one of us let me get the text. I want you, every single one of you has a responsibility. Every single one of you is a part of that household. Every single one of you needs to understand that you are as important a part of that body as anybody else. You're as important, every member is as important to that house as any other member. Well, you say, well, Brother Taylor, what about the ministry? Let the ship fall right where they are. I'll tell you one thing. The ministry is no more important than the congregation or any member of the congregation. He has a greater responsibility, but he's no more important in the house. Do you understand what I'm telling you, children of God? We're equally a part of the body. Listen now. What does Peter says about the matter? Here in the second chapter, I believe it is, of First Peter, when he says, ye are lively stones. I want you to know, if I look around sometimes, they don't look very lively to me, Brother Dickie. They look like they're going to sleep. They look like they come because somebody forced them. They think they can execute their duty by reaching into the billfold. Yes, you need to receive that billfold. Don't get me wrong. But that's not all your duty. You can't execute your duty just by giving some money. You have a duty to your brothers and sisters. Yes, you need to manifest your love one to another. Children of God, listen to me. If we want to see the church prosper, what am I saying? I'm not saying the church house, the building house. If we want to see the children of God, the heart organic phase of the children of God. If we want to see them prosper, then we need to start acting like we care for God. We need to start acting like we have the love of God manifest in our hearts. We need to start manifesting that love one toward another. We need to start putting away the excuses that are getting away. We need to establish some same children of God that in our own lives to order them that we might see that portion of scripture that I was wanting to get to a while ago. Listen now, I want to go back and get that before I left it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You thought I forgot that, didn't you? Well, I did. But the Lord jogged my memory. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, how is it that you can recognize righteousness? That's a fair question. Is it not dear brothers and sisters? Well, let me explain to you in my feeble way what the term righteousness means. Listen now, I studied, I looked at the dictionary, and it just didn't fit. It said right. That's not good enough, children of God. I'm always talking about an attribute of God, I want you to know, and just right is not good enough. I know just and right is all his ways, but it seeks you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, I found that this is the definition that suits my case, and if you'll think about it, I think it'll suit yours. It's the fulfillment of divine law. Well, now then, let's look at that and test it just a minute. Can we fulfill the divine law? No. Well, then we don't have any righteousness, do we? No, because righteousness is the fulfillment of divine law. But Christ, I want you to know, is our righteousness. He is the fulfillment of divine law. And listen to what he said. I came down from heaven. I'm not to do my own. That's not the one I want. He says, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. I want you to know that he fulfilled that law to a jot and a tittle. And not on his behalf, but on your behalf and my behalf. Why? Because we had not the capacity to do that thing. Children of God, he became our righteousness. And now then, having said that, I'd like to get this thought before you. How do you recognize the righteousness of Christ in the church? Well, go to one. And if they don't preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and him finishing the work that he was given him to do, they're not preaching his righteousness. Because, did you follow me there? I'm going to say it again, what you did this. Because there might be one back there that says, let me give you an example, children of God. Listen, I know I'm about to run over, but I that's another thing wrong with the house. We're too oriented to time. We're trying to serve a God that is not, doesn't have any concern for time. I remember one time he had such a little concern for time that he just moved the old sun back. Now, that's the kind of God I like to worship. Now, what was I going to tell you? I was going to tell you something about righteousness. Give you an example. Don't pray for me. I'm not quite through. Listen, children of God, when one comes and says that Jesus died yonder on that cross, I can speak from experience. I've been there. They told me Jesus died yonder on that cross. He's now made a way possible for you to save yourself. A little sinner, come on down here and confess your sins and accept Christ and be baptized and become a child of God. My friends, they just destroyed the finished work of Jesus Christ. They destroyed his righteousness. He fulfilled the lot to a jot and a tittle. How did he do it? They say that he didn't finish the work that he came to do. He said he did. They said he didn't. I just leave that up to you. Who do you want to believe? You don't have to believe me. There's testimony upon testimony on testimony. But God, some of these other brothers that preach it, I'll tell you, they understand what I'm trying to tell you, children of God. If you want to know where the true church is, the house that Jesus built, you just start looking for the righteousness of Jesus Christ manifested amongst the congregation. And if they're teaching works, that church destroys the law. There's no flesh to be justified by works. I don't know how you can get much plainer than that. And if you're looking to work law to justify yourself, then Christ died in vain. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, if the fulfillment of divine justice came by the law, then Christ has died in vain. Listen, children of God, he saved you eternally by the shed blood. He's finished that work. And the only people I know that teaches the cardinal principles of this Bible is right here. I've been out there. Brother Casey, it's just not out there. It's just not there. So, I'll bring my remarks to close in a minute. I'm not promised to do it right now, but when I feel the leadership of the Lord, I'll sit down. Listen now, he says, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Listen now, children of God, what the Lord has done for you. And he says, and holy priesthood. And here's what he says, here's what your duty is, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what Brother Bowen said. And I want to repeat, we have spiritual sacrifices to offer up. We don't offer up the natural sacrifices as under the old law, for this kingdom cometh without observation. It's in you. You are the church. Therefore, we have to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Listen now. I want to go back to Ephesians, and I want to get just a little bit there. I never did get away over here, but I want to get Ephesians just a little bit and see what he says there. I want to go to 2:21. Of the Ephesian letter, and listen, when he says, I got to start 19, he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens Oh, friends, I wish I could bring that home to you. You've been taken out from, I don't have time to make those remarks right now. He says, fellow citizens with the saints and off of the household of God. Oh, I like that. Brother, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone in whom all the building, I want you to know, all the building fitly framed together. Growth into a holy temple in the Lord. It's only in the Lord that this thing can happen. And he says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I can't quit without going under to Psalms and getting just a little bit of the Psalms. I know I don't have time make some observations here that I'd like to make. But listen now and keep this in mind as I try to bring my remarks to a close. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. My friend, why I want you to see that is we need to be all prayerful unto God to guide and direct us to keep the city, to watch over us as we go forward, just to give us grace to preach. To give us grace for every condition of our life. We need his grace in every aspect of our life. We need to understand, unless he build a house and he keep the city, we're going to all of our labors in vain. And now then, let's go back to the 121st Psalm and listen to this. He says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Do you see that that's where your help cometh? My friends, I'm not trying to tell you that it's not a time for you to go to your minister and seek counsel. I want to encourage you to do that, but I want you to do it in a proper frame of mind, realizing that he is like you. Before he can be of any benefit to you, he must have the grace of God overshadow him and give him wisdom and understanding and knowledge sufficient that he might give you a proper answer or a proper direction to your problem. Therefore, before you go to the minister, I'd ask you to do one thing. Don't go to the brother next door. Don't go to the sister next door. But go to your knees unto your Savior and beg him to guide you and guide the minister that you're going to go seek a counsel from, that you together might do the will of the Almighty God. And there's where your help comes from. Listen, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade up on the right hand. I'd like to take some time on each one of these. But it's just not time. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forward and even forevermore. My friends, the Lord is the one that's going to do this. The Lord is the one that's worked this grace in you. Therefore, the 127th time, listen as I close. He says, I was glad. Listen to him. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. If I understand the compactness there, children of God, it's the love of God manifested in you that flows from breast to breast. This city that we've come here to worship together, we the bound that binds us together is love. Let us manifest that love one toward another. But let's take heed. need over here. A word Paul says, let your love be without dissimulation. My friend, that means pretense. Don't go around pretending that you love one, but be sure that you have that love in its proper perspective and manifest that love to them. It's not enough just to have a love for one. He may never know that you love him, that you could love him with a fervent love and have a love for one. But unless you manifest it to him, dear brother, they'll never know it. I tell you, I leave you with this. I just thought, he that goeth, let him go in the Lord. Come on.